Glad you're here this morning. Let's open with a word of prayer. It's kind of a dreary day. Woke up with thunder and rain. And I just appreciate you getting up, coming out in thunder and rain to study God's Word. Let's pray together. Our Father, thank you for the blessing that's ours every Sunday morning to choose to come and give honor and preference to your holy anointed Word. We come because we believe it is, in fact, the very words of the living God. We believe that there is power in your word, power to convict, to instruct, to exhort us, to build us up, to make us women who are equipped to serve you. And that's our heart this morning, Father. We come because we ask you to equip us to do all of those things that your word does in our life. And I pray this morning that you would take our lesson and just stir our hearts up this morning to want to be women who are following closely, passionately after you. We want you to be glorified in our life. We want to grow to be more like Jesus. And so take this lesson and use it in our lives. And we pray this in your precious name. Amen. All right. So, well, it's a new year. And you know what that means. How many of you have set as your goal to lose 10 pounds and to exercise? Raise your hand. I want to see. How many of you have said that? Oh, you are not being honest with me this morning. That's always our new year's goal. And that's a good thing. That's a really good thing. To stay fit and to exercise and to keep your weight at a good level, that's a really good thing. But here's the truth that I want to start off with this morning for us to think about. We need to give that very same attention, the attention like we give to our bodies. We need to give that very same attention to our inner woman, to our souls. And the cool thing about disciplining ourselves for the purpose of godliness is this: it's going to pay eternal blessings. It's not going to be just temporal, like exercising your body. Yeah, that's profit. But that's not an eternal profit, is it? Because what's going to happen to these bodies? Well, they're going to go away, aren't they? That's why I'm so happy that you and I are studying this book together. The Spiritual Disciplines for the Christian Life. I have thoroughly been challenged by this book week by week as I've been studying it. Now look at that verse on your handout. That's our theme verse, where Paul is talking to Timothy and he says, "Now Timothy, discipline yourself. There's one thing you need to do. You're a young man, a lot of responsibility on you. I'm putting you in charge here. And there's one thing I need you to do. I need you to be very careful and discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness." And that exhortation comes to us. That's just a good theme verse for our year, for 2023. So let's make this our goal. Not only to exercise our bodies and to lose weight, but also to discipline our inner person for the purpose of becoming more godly, to become more like Christ in my thinking, in my actions. Do you want to be more fruitful in ministry? Do you? Is that something your heart is wanting for 2023? Are you saying to God, "Now, God, use me more. I want you to use my life. I'm going to present myself to you. I want my life to have more influence for Christ." Do you feel that in your heart? I want to learn more about you and your word. I want to grow more. And all we've been learning in our study, those things will facilitate all of those questions. They will help us to do those very things. Well, what would disciplining ourselves for godliness look like? And that's what we've been studying. Well, it would mean you would get very serious about God's word. You would give it priority. You would be faithful to come to hear it preached. You would be faithful to come and hear it taught in Sunday school. You would be faithful to get out your Bibles, read it for yourself, get a plan, go through the Word of God. You would need to study it with godly teachers. You would need to memorize it, meditate on it. And it would mean growing in your prayer life, growing in your worship, growing in sharing the gospel, taking very seriously your role individually in the body that's the church. Now, where do I fit in here? It's not, is everybody meeting my need? No, it's me saying, where's a need that I can meet? I'm looking, I'm evaluating myself. I'm curious, what's my spiritual gift? How do I fit into the body? I want to be used for Christ, and I want to serve. Now, last week we talked about, also it would mean being very careful about stewardship in giving. We looked at that, and then one more about fasting and the benefits of fasting. And last week we talked about the role of silence and solitude in our lives. Now, for this morning, we're going to talk about journaling. So get out your handout and let's just jot some things down together as we talk about this practice of journaling. How many of you already do that? Raise your hands and let me see. Many of you do. Many of you do. Well, let's write this down. Journaling blends the Bible and daily living. So that's the first thing we want to say. Journaling blends the Bible and daily living. Now picture this picture in your mind. It's an analogy. Life is like going down a river. And I've been at it for quite a while now because I'm old. And I've learned that when you go down a river and I'm heading toward the celestial city, that's my destination. Sometimes that journey involves bends, turns, hazards, storms. Unexpected things happen, dangers. And there's something about journaling as you're going through this journey down the river toward the celestial city that just appeals to the adventuresome spirit of Christian growth in our lives. Now, let's explain journaling before we look at its benefits. Let's write down some more things. A journal, a word that is synonymous with that word would be diary. So put that down. We all know what it is to be a diary. I remember when I was 8, 9, 10, that was the big birthday gift. You got a diary, and it had that little tiny lock on it with that tiny key that you lost. But no wonder the hairpin would open it up, right? I bet all of you, if you're my age, you remember that. A journal, let's write this down, is a place in which a person records information that's important to him or her personally, and she records it for preservation and for consideration. Here's another thing for us to think about. Your journal is a place to document the works and the ways of God in your life. And it can include several things. Let's just write down a few. Daily events, so put that down. It can include a record of personal relationships. It can include a notebook of insights that you have into Scripture. And it can also be a list of prayer requests, where you just keep very careful a listing of who you're praying for, what you're praying for, circumstances, needs. It can be a recording of devotional thoughts or theological insights. Am I going too fast? So, think of a journal as being one of the best places for charting your progress in spiritual disciplines and for holding yourself accountable to your goals. So let's write it this way on our handout. It's a place to record your reflections and your feelings about your spiritual progress. Teresa, are you telling me this morning that in order to grow in godliness, in order to be more like Jesus, I'm going to have to keep a journal? Is that what I'm telling you this morning? No, that's not what I'm telling you. The truth is, the Bible says nothing that obligates a Christian to keep a journal. Many of the most Christ-like people in history have kept journals, and thank God they did, because their journals went on to be published. Their journals went on, and smart people would take their journals and write their biographies. And they've been a great blessing to the church. Equally, many godly men and women in history have not kept journals. But consider with me this morning, for example, take prayer, for example. Prayer is not optional. Prayer is a natural outgrowth of the gospel. You get saved through the gospel, and then you begin to pray. The Spirit in you causes you to pray, because look at Romans 8:15 on your handout. There we find Paul saying, you have received a spirit of adoption as sons or daughters by which you cry out, Abba, Father, Daddy. You got the Spirit in you. It naturally cries out to God. Also, here's another example. Salvation will also bring about a change in your heart to where you're hungering for the Word of God. But it cannot be said that the gospel always produces disciples of Jesus who will keep spiritual journals. That's just not in the Bible. So let's write it this way on our handout. Journaling is found by example in Scripture. It's not a command. It's found by example. Now, let's just consider David this morning. David poured out his soul to God, and we read what he wrote in the scrolls of the Psalms. He wrote words like this. I just put one on your handout, Psalm 86:1. Incline your ear, O Lord. Answer me. I'm afflicted. I'm needy. Have you ever felt like that when you pray? Well, I certainly do. Do you ever write those kinds of words down in a journal as you're praying? God, answer me. God, I'm needy. Think about Jeremiah with me. Jeremiah lived, and he was absolutely brokenhearted and grieving because the city of Jerusalem had fallen. And he wrote down all of those griefs in the book called Lamentations. He was journaling. Now, true, David and Jeremiah's words became Holy Scripture for us to read. None of our writings will ever be divinely inspired quite like theirs were, but their example of writing out their prayers, writing out their meditations, writing out their questions, that provides a scriptural validation that is encouraging us to consider the value of doing the same thing in a journal. We've got a new class up there this morning. Just ignore them. I have 21 grandchildren, so it's easy for me to ignore, you know. I just block it out. Now, I want to clarify this morning. By the way, I'm so excited. They're starting a newlywed class up there, and that is a real need in our church, and I'm just so thrilled they're doing that. Pray for them. I'm not saying that Jesus lived and died for sinners to turn them into journal keepers. No, no, no. He came to make us right with God. But once we're right with God through repentance and through faith in who Jesus is and in faith through what he has done for us, a journal can be, as millions of those who are right with God throughout history have found, it can be a great tool for thinking about and applying life and death of Jesus to ourselves. So let's write it this way on our handout. Our journal is a place to reflect upon God's word. That's mainly how I journal. I get up. I've been doing the Psalms method of prayer. And I just have to write down. I mean, I do. I'm just reading through the Psalms, and I'm praying, and I'm just writing down. Sometimes I just verbatim write the verse because it's my heart. I'm just feeling it. Sometimes I go off on a tangent. But it's a place where I'm just responding to God's word, and I want to write it in the journal. And then, you know, the next morning when I get up, I'll go back and read what I wrote the day before. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that was so true the day before. Let's see what's for today. It's a place to reflect upon the riches of God's grace to us that come to us in the gospel of Jesus Christ. God has been so gracious. And it's a place to record how we are to move forward in enjoying those riches that we have in His grace. So the bottom line is this in today's lesson. There are biblical and historical reasons for joining those of God's people who have taken up the discipline of journaling for the purpose of godliness. And what we want to remember is this. The reason I'm doing it, why do I even want to do it? It's because I want to become more godly. I'm doing it as a discipline. I'm doing it to respond and go deeper in God's word, in my relationship with God. That's why I'm doing it. I'm not doing it because, oh, that's a cool Christian thing to do. I'm doing it because I'm disciplining myself to do it for the purpose of growing to be more like Jesus. That's my heart. That's what I want more than anything. Now, with all of that in mind, let's talk about the value that comes out of journaling. Here's the first one I want you to write down. Journaling will help us, two words, understand first and evaluate ourselves. It will help us understand and evaluate ourselves. Now, look at Romans 12:3. For through the grace given to me, Paul says, I say to everyone among you, now watch, don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to think, but look, watch. Don't think so as to have sound judgment. But on the other hand of that, don't think too highly, but guess what? Don't think too lowly either. We've got to learn to think rightly, to think biblically. Now, keeping a journal won't guarantee protection against me being conceited and thinking too highly of myself. It won't be protection for me to be abased and think too lowly of myself. Simply recording significant events in my life and noting my reactions to them does cause me to examine myself and to examine myself in the light of Scripture. And I do it more thoroughly than I would have if I hadn't stopped and paused to sit down and reflect. John Calvin was a great theologian, and I'm sure you've heard his name. He wrote a monumental work called Institutes. And on the very first page of this work, he wrote, did I put this on your handout? Without knowledge of self, there is no knowledge of God. And then he went on to explain, and he said this, through the knowledge of ourselves and our condition, we are aroused to seek God. And a journal can be a means by which the Holy Spirit uses just to show us in our lives the areas of weakness. Journaling can mean can be a means by which we monitor our progress or our decline of our inner soul. It can become a mirror in which I see more clearly my attitudes, my thoughts, my words, my actions. Now, here's number two. It helps us also with meditation. Now, we looked at meditation. I think we spent a whole lesson on it back in the very beginning of our study. Consider these verses on meditation out of Joshua. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, Joshua 1:8. But you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Look at Psalm 1:1-3. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. That person will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. Now, I just love the promises that are attached to the one who meditates on the Word of God. They're amazing. But here's the deal about meditation. It's going to require you to concentrate. It's hard to develop this discipline because you and I are living in such a fast-paced, media-driven society. And it's so easy to go off into daydreaming as you're setting your hearts to spend time in meditation on God's Word. This is where journaling can help us in our meditation. So as I'm reading on Scripture, as I am thinking on it, as I am processing it, writing down my insights gives me the ability to intensify exactly what the text is saying. And it's just this discipline of writing down my meditations in my journal. It helps me concentrate. It helps me order my thinking. So I'm sitting here with God's Word. I've got my pen. I've got my journal in hand. Or I have my laptop. You may have a file. You just, because, you know, I can type faster than I can write. In a way, when you do that, when you come to the Word of God with your journal, it adds a sense of expectation as I think on God and on His words in the passage before me. That's why I always give a handout. I always do, because you know what? If you're jotting down the main points of my lesson, it helps you. It helps you to concentrate. It helps you to order your thinking and to be attentive. If you sit in the Brother Greg's sermon, if you'll jot down the main points, it'll help you. When the end of the week, you'll remember what you learned. And, you know, I'm going to have a handout at my funeral, so just get ready. So journaling is going to help us to focus on the text better, to make our meditation more fruitful. Now, here's number three. It helps us in expressing our thoughts and our feelings to the Lord. It'll help you express your thoughts and your feelings to the Lord. It'll make your thoughts and feelings concrete. Look at Psalm 62:8. The psalmist says, pour out your heart before him. A journal is a place where you can do exactly that. You can just pour your heart out to God. And since human thoughts and emotions range between times of exhilaration and times of despondency, you can expect to find both of those on the pages of your journal. We tend to feel most deeply about what we think most deeply about. And when we slow down and we set our hearts to go deep with God, to go deep with the things of God, and we're going to write them down, that just becomes a tool in helping us go deeper with the Lord. It's a way of clarifying what we're thinking, what we're feeling. Here's number four. Journaling can help us remember the Lord's work. Journaling can help us remember the Lord's works. Now, I like this statement out of our book, and I put it on your handout. Many people think God has not blessed them with much until it's time to move it all to the new address. I thought that's so funny. We're very blessed. It's so true that we tend to forget just how many times God has answered specific prayers. The time God has made a timely provision. the time God did a marvelous thing for you in your life. But having a place to collect all these memories will prevent us from forgetting what God has done for us. Look at Psalm 77, 11 through 12. Listen to what the psalmist wrote. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your wonders of old. I will ponder all your work and meditate on your mighty deeds. Deuteronomy 17 contains there that even the kings of Israel were required by God to write for themselves a copy of the law of Moses to help them remember what God had done in the lives of the patriarchs. And a journal is a place, it's one of the best ways to keep fresh the memory of what the Lord has done for you. Let's go to number 5. It helps in creating and preserving a spiritual heritage. Journaling is an effective way of teaching the things of God to our children, to our grandchildren, just transmitting our faith into the future. Did you know that what I sit down and write today can possibly have a spiritual impact on someone in the future? That's a good thought. Now let's just have a test. I want you to write down the names, first and last names, of your 8 great-grandparents. Go. Write them down. First and last names of your 8 great-grandparents. See if you can remember any of them. This is hard, isn't it? 8. You've got your mother, your father, and their 2 sets. Or I don't know. Just I'm saying 8. Great grandparents. Is that right? Is it 8? Great grandparents. Would you have 8? I don't know. Stop. How many did you get? How many can you remember? 4. That's good. Pretty good. It should be 4, is that right? Great. I'm confused. My point is this. It's hard to remember. Only about 1 in 10 people know the names of their great-grandparents. Only about 1 in 10 know the names of their great-grandparents. All right, let's hear it. Yes. And that's my point. That is my point. Exactly. That's the point right here. Now think with me, your great-grandparents just 100 years ago, they were alive, just as active as you and I are today, and yet, despite a lifetime of working and acquiring things, not even their direct descendants, the people most likely to have an interest in them, don't know their names, much less knowing anything about them. Now, within 100 years from today, that will be you and me. Except for the pictures we take and the things that we write and the legal records that remain, they will be the only thing that document our time of life on earth. And so what I'm saying is just what Melanie said. What we write in a journal can be a most enduring legacy to our descendants that tell them about our walk on earth. Who knows what significant impact we may have on our future generations spiritually by just keeping record in a journal. Have you recorded the story of your salvation anywhere, your testimony? Is it written down? Have you listed in a journal or somewhere the dramatic answers to prayer that you had in your life? How God moved in your life? What about, have you ever recorded major spiritual turning points in your life? Your stories of God's grace in your life? they should be preserved. You may have children or grandchildren who are far from God right now at this very present moment. They may have no interest at all in your witness, and yet they might be turned to the Lord one day by reading your journal. God may very well use your stories, your meditations of Christ and his scripture to bring others to himself. Don't ever underestimate the power of a written record of faith acting as a spiritual time capsule. Now listen to what the writer of Psalm 102:18 said. He said, "Let this be recorded for a generation to come, so that a people yet to be created may praise the Lord." Here's number six. It helps in clarifying and articulating insights. Insights. Listen to a quote by Francis Bacon. He says, "Reading makes a full man, dialogue makes a ready man, writing makes an exact man." If you will write down the meditations of your quiet time with the Lord, they're going to stay with you longer. And then later in the day, you're walking around, you've written down your meditations, they've become more concrete, and you'll find that you will remember what you wrote, and you will include it in your conversations. You might even use it in witnessing, encouraging others. Number seven, it helps in monitoring goals and priorities. You see, a journal is just a good way to keep before yourself the things you want to do and the things that you want your life to emphasize. I wonder if you've already, at the first of this year, made a list of goals and priorities. Put them in a journal. Look over them daily. Pray over them. Your journal can help you realize your goals. Number eight, journaling helps in maintaining other spiritual disciplines. See, your journal becomes a really good place where you're recording your progress in the disciplines of your life, spiritual disciplines. It can become a daily prompter to discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. So I'm disciplining myself through all the spiritual disciplines that we've looked at in the course of this study. And as I'm doing that, I'm writing it down in this journal, and this journal is actually helping me to stay at it. Now, how is it done, Teresa? How is it done? What's the right way to do this? There's only one thing I want you to put on your handout. There are no rules for journaling. There are no rules given in Scripture for journaling. Just get your pen and your paper. Get your keyboard if that's what you want to do. And let me just give you some suggestions. Now, I'm through on my handout, but I'm not through in my talk. So we're not going for just a minute. If you're just starting out, try listing in the morning as a way of starting. Just take one verse, one idea from your Bible reading that impressed you the most that day, and meditate on that. And then in your journal, write insights or thoughts that you're having. That's one way to just begin journaling. Then you can add from there, add recent events in your life. You may want to record those and your feelings and your responses that you had to those events. Write out brief prayers. Write out your joys. Journal your successes, your failures. Quotations you hear that you like, record them in your journal. And on, there are no rules. There's no official journaling method, no certain number of lines that you have to write every day. No certain numbers of days a week you have to do it. But just discipline yourself to write at least one sentence per day as you're starting. Inevitably, that one sentence will turn gradually into a paragraph or possibly even to a whole page. And the biggest problem is this. It's just this. It's just getting started. It's just starting. But once you start, you'll be so glad you did. And you usually, now I have to say this, as you start out in any of these disciplines, and I found this true as I've been working through the disciplines, that, you know, at first that's like, oh, this is fun, I love this, yeah, this is great. But sometimes you go through dry spells, don't we? So I want to encourage you, persist through the dry times in all of these disciplines, especially in journaling. Just be persistent. How will you ever know its value unless you start, right? Now, I'm wondering, have I piqued your interest this morning? Does this sound interesting to you? Does this sound like something you might want to begin in your own life personally? Will you allow words to find their way from your heart onto paper or onto a computer screen? Will you consider journaling this morning? Not only as a way to raise up a monument to God's faithfulness in your life, but more importantly, I'm going to do it for the purpose of godliness. I want to do it for the purpose of growing more like Christ. That's my heart in journaling. That's my bottom line. Now, next week, we're going to look at, I believe it's the last discipline, and it's the discipline of learning. And so that's going to be, I can't wait to get into that one. And I don't want you to miss that lesson. So I will see you next week. Let's pray together. Our Father, we're so grateful for those who lived years and years ago, who wrote down and journaled how you dealt with them, and they wrote their insights into Scripture. They wrote answers to their prayers, and Lord, we read those words, and we're so encouraged in our own personal walks. I thank you, Father, for giving us the gift that we can write down and journal and process and meditate and express ourselves. And I pray, Father, that for the purpose of growing more like Jesus, that you will stir in our hearts a real hunger and desire to journal. I thank you for this book that we're studying and for the things that we've seen, for the methods that he's just spelling out for us, that we might take our walks with Christ so very seriously, that we might grow in regards to growing more like our precious Jesus, for the purpose of becoming godly and becoming used in our generation. Our generation is perishing. Our generation is hungering to see a real person of God live out their life before them. And Father, we're in these bodies of flesh and they're so lazy. I pray that you will help us to buffet our bodies and to become very serious about walking in your ways. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I'll see you next week. Go home and journal.